Morena tātou. Our reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Whakaronga ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And the Holy Gospel. Te rangapai tapu ki te ritenga a huani, te tikau upoko ka timata tahi. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. The shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever comes through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Te rangapai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Well, kia ora e te whānau. How you doing? You all right? Nice to see you all. I've got some stuff to say, but just going back to that song, because something in that song, I just thought it's worth saying. You know, I don't know about for you, but for me, the most powerful line in that song is, "Lord, send revival, start with me." Yeah, it's a killer line in a way, isn't it? You know, you're going, yeah, revival, you know, let's go and, you know, revive everyone and kind of, I just think sometimes for me, it's easier to pray for revival out there than it is in here. And it is easier to say, Lord, just go and do stuff and it will be amazing and we can all watch. You know, or do it with other people and I can watch them doing it. But when it says that line, you know, send revival, start with me, then I'm like, oh, true. Oh, yeah. Because it has to. It doesn't start with someone else, or rather, I've got no control or say or responsibility, you know, over whether or not you decide to be part of that revival. I've only got control or say or responsibility over my own actions and my own decisions, haven't I? And same for all of us, obviously. You know, so I can only say, actually, well, you know, I can, of course I can pray, Lord, send revival. And I do want that. I do pray for that. But it's got to start, as far as I'm concerned, in my prayers with God, with me. Oh, dear. Quite a bit of work to do there. But it does. It has to start with us. Lord, send revival. Start with me. And you know, and actually, I've got to take responsibility. I can't hope for it to all be out there and not in here. Make sense? Anyway, there you go. That's an aside. But to go for what I was going to say this morning. So, I could start. Where should I start? Walking down the beach, because I do really like walking down the beach, but I often start there. Hands up, who likes walking down the beach? Yeah, we do, don't we? Who loves living in this part of this neck of the woods? It's a beautiful spot, isn't it? It's a beautiful place. I do love it. It's wonderful. The sunsets we get. Oh, that's not here. That's somewhere else. Anyone recognize that? Anyone from the South Island? Yeah, yeah. Tekapor, isn't it, I think? Yeah. Church of the Good Shepherd, looking out over the lake. Beautiful. Beautiful country. One of the things we really value in our culture is independence, isn't it? We really value independence. It's such a strong kind of current all through our culture and society. Just being able to do things. No one's going to tell us what to do, are they? I mean, you know, how happy are we about being told what to do? Anyone here really love that? Oh, Jude is. Yeah, but you're from perhaps over the ditch, aren't you? So that, yeah. no offence. Of course. No, but, you know, I saw the other day, I won't name names, but I did see someone. In fact, how many times have you seen people drive the wrong way on the one-way bit here, just outside the church? Anyone seen that happen? Anyone want to confess to doing it themselves? I'm just going to look and see. Oh, yeah, there's a couple of bold hands there. Good on you. Excellent. And I note one particular member of the congregation who didn't put up their hand. I'm trying really hard not to look at them. That's all right. I've driven the wrong way down the little bit there. I confess to you. It was only probably 10 metres, I think, to get a parking spot by the hall here. So I thought, oh, quick, I'll just nip in and go around there. Sorry. We just think, well, you know, I know that those rules apply to other people, but not to me, right? And that's fine sometimes. One thing that made me sad the other day, well, it was a while ago, is just seeing, you know, every now and then you see someone deciding, actually, you know, I'm allowed to walk because, you know, no one can tell me what to do. I'm allowed to walk on the sand dunes wherever I want down at the beach. And I just feel a little bit grieved. You know, maybe it's just me and maybe I'm being silly. But I just feel like, mate, you know, those sand dunes are for everyone. And, you know, if we all walked on them, they would, you know, so why do you get to be the special one that walks on those sand dunes? You know, and you can see the attitude of my heart there revealed. But, you know, there is a sort of, there is a collective responsibility, isn't there? Where our individualism, no one's going to tell me what to do, actually isn't such a good thing all the time, is it? Just another funny one was, I remember down at Pihar Beach once, seeing a kid. How old do you reckon he was, Katie? Do you remember that kid? He must have had blocks on his feet. He was probably about 10, and he was driving a car around the, you know, roads on at Pihar. Just because, you know, it's the beach. We can do it. Yeah, it's all right. But he was on the road, and there were a lot of people around, a lot of parked cars. And this little kid was driving a car. See, but doesn't... I mean, look around you. No one's shocked. Yeah, that's normal. We really value our independence. We don't like being told what to do. We don't like being told what to do by, you know, higher-ups or authorities or anything. We don't really like authority, actually, do we? It's okay, you can agree. You're like, if I agree, then you're going to now go boom and get me. You know, no, it's not like that. I don't I think, you know, it's just one of those things. But in our passage today, well, you see, independence has its good side. I'll tell you what the good side of independence is. We just mentioned one good side, didn't we? It's not so much independence, but it's taking responsibility for yourself. That's the good side of this coin, if you like, perhaps, where we say, actually, it's got to start with me. I need to take responsibility. I need to take responsibility for myself and for the people around me and for their well-being, not just my own. You know, but I need to start with me. I can't expect everyone else to do the right thing if I'm not doing the right thing. So that's a, you know, I don't know, it's probably not independence. I'm probably being cheeky there, smuggling in selflessness into independence. Sorry. You're all nonplussed now. But there is a sort of side to it that where we take responsibility for ourselves. There's a side to it where, I mean, I just look at some of the stories in the news of churches around us, of our brothers and sisters, where there's such a high degree of independence and not being one to be told what to do or how to behave, especially the people at the top, where there's real abuse happens in those churches. And we've all read in the news about, you know, the way people are treated and all that kind of thing. That's not okay, is it? But that's that independent, that's that, I can be on my own, I can decide how my church is run, I run it like this, and I do it from the top down. I think that goes really against the spirit of the early church. And if we look at our passage in Acts today, Acts 2:42, it says, and they devoted themselves. What did they devote themselves to? And this expression, they devoted themselves, is like they gave themselves. They really were all in. They were just, this is such a value to us. This is our values. Is it independence? Well, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, yeah, or the apostolic doctrine, you can translate it, but the doctrine of the teaching, the teaching of the apostles. Not anyone's, not my teaching, you know, I don't get to make it up, not somebody, you know, it was the apostles, the ones that had been with Jesus, and we'll look at that a little bit more. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching and, you can look, we could put it up there, Acts 2:42, do you want to, yeah, there we go. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, all right? And there's like two pairs of things here. Apostles' teaching and fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and yeah, and a really interesting thing, it's not in this translation, is in the Greek it says the prayers, not just prayer in general. Earlier in Acts, Luke says, talks about prayer in general. But here he puts in the word the and puts it in the plural, the prayers. It's really interesting. And some translations pick up on that and say it, and others, you know, just sort of assume it's just prayer in general. But Luke says the prayers. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. It's a really, really different model because they're all in it together and they're saying, we devote ourselves not to anyone's teaching and, you know, oh, I'm just going to go it alone. I'm going to go independent because I disagree with those guys, so I'm over here now. Come with me, you know, because we're independent, right? We can just decide how we're going to run things and we can decide what we're going to believe. No, we can't. We can only believe what the apostles have passed down to us, which is basically this stuff, because they received it from Christ. They received it from Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So there's the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That fellowship militates against independence, doesn't it? Fellowship, koinonia is the Greek, and you'll probably have heard that word. Fellowship, koinonia, it means communion. It means fellowship. It means mutual brotherly and sisterly love. It means abiding with. It means, being connected to, but, at a deep level. It talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, where it says at the end of Corinthians, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. So that's how we pray. And that fellowship of the Holy Spirit is all of us together. And it's connecting us to one another and to God, because it's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who is God. So God in God's self is in fellowship, in communion. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that brings us into fellowship with one another and fellowship with the fellowship of God. That famous icon of the Trinity. Well, it's not the Trinity, it's the visitors to Abraham, but it's representing the Trinity, who we can't represent, so that's why it's the visitors to Abraham. Anyway, and they're all sitting around this table, and each one represents Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three of them, and there's this open spot on the table, which is for us, for you and me to come into. It's a famous painting, as you know, and we've seen it before. But that idea that we come into that fellowship of God, of the life of God, and that he shares that fellowship with us. So different to our independent sort of, no one's going to tell me what to do, isn't it? We kind of, actually, someone is going to tell us what to do, not in a demandy way, but in this amazing kind of enabling, life-giving, fellowshipy, I share my life with you kind of way. Isn't it wonderful? That's the God who we're in fellowship with. That's the people of God who we're in fellowship with. And that fellowship is with the apostles. Our fellowship, yours and mine, is with the apostles. And that doesn't mean someone who says, I'm an apostle today. Some people do say that. And maybe they are. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But I tell you what, I do know that the apostles in the Bible were apostles because Jesus called them apostles. And their doctrine, their teaching, is what we base the whole of the church, the whole of Christianity on. It comes from those guys, not someone who stands up and says, I'm an apostle and you should all be doing this or that or the other. All right? Does that make sense? Sorry if I'm, being a bit direct here. I'm not saying that there isn't an apostolic gift. There is. And people can be apostolic today, and they are. Definitely. But if they start trying to take things in a very individualistic direction and they're not in fellowship with the rest of the church, going all the way back to the original apostles, then something's gone wrong. So that teaching, that apostolic teaching, Paul talks about it, you could say, in 1 Corinthians and chapter 11, and then again in chapter 15. But if we start with chapter 15, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says this. He says, so again, he's like, I don't get to make this stuff up, he says. It's got to go back to Jesus and those who are with him. And he's sort of, so he says, now I make known to you, brothers and sisters, the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, and that word is traditioned, by the way, I traditioned to you, because that's all tradition is, it's passing something on. It's not, putting the flowers over there because we've always put the flowers over there, which are amazing flowers, let me just say. But we can get into silly, habits. That's not what Paul means by tradition. He says, I passed on to you what, as of first importance, what I also received. I didn't make it up. I received it. And that's how this thing works. It comes from Christ through the apostles, the first Christians, the early church, all down the ages to us. We don't invent Christianity. We don't invent the church. We don't invent what we believe. We don't go, actually, I'm going to be an independent person and I'm going to set this thing up and I'm going to run it my way and abuse a few people along the way. Because we actually need to be in fellowship with one another, with the whole church across the world, if we can, and through time, all the way back to the apostles and to Christ. So important. We just don't think like that, do we? It's all like, oh, no, I can, it's all right. We don't need to worry about all that sort of stuff. We can just kind of make it up as we go along. But we can't, and we don't need to. We receive what's been passed down through the Holy Spirit. Paul even says it, you know. And then he also, so the other time that he talks about this is in 1 Corinthians 11, where he says, blah, 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 which is Greek for, in verse 23 he says, for I received from the Lord, again, I didn't make this up, I received from the Lord what I also delivered, traditions passed on to you. That the Lord Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Da, da, da. So these are the two things that he says are passed on. The apostolic doctrine, teaching, which I didn't read out, by the way, but it was this. You know, the gospel, which I received and delivered to you, tradition to you as a first importance, that Christ died for our sins. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and the 12 and da-da-da. You know, that's the gospel. He just sums it up there very, very neatly and succinctly, and that's the gospel which we believe and always have. Because Christ died for our sins, he was buried, you know, he went into proper death, broke its power, and is raised from the dead. So, he is risen. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right, so we've got the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and it is so important to be in fellowship all the way back through the ages with the early church, with the apostles, with Christ, you know, who is alive today. So we're fellowshipping that way and that way, as it were, and together. We don't just go off and do it alone. And by the way, I'm not saying that anyone doing it alone isn't a Christian and they're not a church. Of course they are Christians. Of course they're a church. I'm just saying it's safer and better to be in fellowship as broadly and as widely as possible, to be accountable and not to be independent. Is that all right? Yeah. Anyway, apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer, and the prayers. And the breaking of bread and the prayers is the other thing that Paul talked about just now, is receiving and passing on. And in the breaking of bread and the prayers, again, very, very simple thing, isn't it, that Jesus asked us to do. And it's a central thing that he asked us to do. Baptism and Eucharist. Baptism and breaking of bread. Two things that came straight from his mouth that we should be doing. And baptism is obviously a one-off. Gets you in on the road of discipleship with Jesus. And breaking of bread helps you keep renewing that discipleship to Jesus and keeps feeding us with our daily bread, as it were. You know, and Jesus, we simply do what Jesus did. Way back when Jesus, whenever he broke bread, and we could look at it another time, but every time, you know, you see Jesus in the scriptures, there's this pattern that he uses. And again, it says he took the bread, and then he gave thanks, and then he broke it, and then he gave it to them. And that's just what they did. That's just what the Jewish people did. And it was every meal, actually. Every meal was a holy occasion. You know, every meal involved giving thanks. And it was always the same person that gave thanks in any group. It was the person who was deemed the right person to do it because of whatever, you know, because they were senior, or they were the oldest, or they were the most revered. Obviously, you get to put up with people like me who am not senior or revered or particularly holy or whatever. But no, it's more that people were called to that, you know, and it's just felt like, well, that's the right thing for you to do. Yeah. And so they always took bread, gave thanks on behalf of the whole group. So we're all giving thanks together when we break bread. That's why, and they always said amen at the end of that prayer, which we do, don't we? At the end of our prayer, we say amen. We're not making it up. This is not made up, you know. We've received this. And their prayers also, they had the same pattern. Yeah, they could have a little bit of ad lib, and we might do a little bit of ad lib as well. But they always had the same pattern, the same shape of prayer. And that was always to give thanks, first of all. And you can see them. There's prayers like this in the Bible all through. You know, there's patterns to the prayer. You know, you give that. It's a sensible thing to do, isn't it? Look up to God first, because if we look at ourselves, it's a bit moldy, and we can be a bit depressed. But if we look up to God and say, thank you, that's what Eucharist means. Eucharist is, even today, the Greek word for thank you. So if you go to, they pronounce it Evcharisto now. EU is like Ev. Anyway. Evcharisto, it means thank you. And so we go, thank you, Eucharist, thank you, Lord, for which is that word bless as well when we read it in Scripture. So we take the bread, we give thanks, we break it, and we share it. And we give thanks in that way, just thanking God for all that he's done for us and praying that we'd know that and the blessings of that. And then we all say amen. It's just what we've always done. And the prayers, I won't go into now, but the prayers, again and again, we see in the New Testament. We're not making it up. You know, they have times of prayer. And it, like James and John go into the temple at the time of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. And it's not prescriptive. It's not that you have to pray then and only then or anything. We should, as Paul says, be praying at all times and all occasions. But then we also do pray at set times, hopefully. And it's wise to do that. It's a good idea to do that. And it's something that our brothers and sisters have done. Godly men and women have done down the ages, throughout the ages, again and again. It's not something new. It's not something we're making up. It's just a good idea to pray. Right at the very beginning, actually, one of the first writings after the New Testament is a little book called the Didache, which means teaching, the teaching of the apostles. And in it, one of the things it says is, you know, pray the Lord's, or we pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. You know, it doesn't say exactly when, but morning, midday, and evening would make sense, wouldn't it? You don't have to, but it's just a pattern of prayer that the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, had. And the first Christians were all Jews. And then, obviously, the Gentiles start coming in. And they just followed those same patterns. And they're good patterns. So, is that all right? I've just landed a whole load of stuff on you there. I'm really sorry. But I think the main thing, perhaps, take from it what you will, and hopefully God, you know, he speaks to us in different ways. I've had people come up to me after a sermon, and I think anyone that's given a sermon has had this, who've said, it was so good. It just really unlocked something for me when you said blah, blah, blah. And I think, I didn't say blah, blah, blah. I didn't say that. And that's just God going, yeah, all right, Mark. I've got it. You're not saying it, so I'm going to say it. And just talking directly to someone. So, you know, God's good. God is good. All the time. God is good. Yeah. He is good. And but I think this whole idea of independence, not so sure it's a good thing. It's a little bit of fun, you know, driving the wrong way down a one-way street. But I really do think we actually owe it to one another to take responsibility for ourselves, to say, Lord, send revival and start with me, and to be in fellowship with one another widely as possible, including all the other churches, including independent churches, you know, everyone, to be in fellowship as much as possible and through the ages, not just now, but through the ages, our brothers and sisters, the holy men and women that went before us, those godly people that we look up to and go, wow, they really showed the love of God. Going all the way back to the apostles, not making it up, but just trusting that God's given us good stuff to live in and to walk in together throughout the world, across the ages. Is that all right? Yeah. So, Lord, it's just we bring ourselves before you. We bring our nation before you, our culture, our world. We bring to you our independent spirit, which does have good sides to it, of course, but it also has dangerous sides to it. And we see that where people arrogate power to themselves and do things that they want to do without being accountable to anyone. And Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on us and forgive us as a church where we've done that. And Lord, forgive us as individuals where we've done that in various ways. But we pray that, Lord, you would melt our hearts, that we would understand more and more the fellowship that you share with us, the life that you share with us, the fact that we're in this together, that we share power, we share responsibility, and we need to take responsibility for ourselves rather than expecting others to do it for us. But we do that because we want to live with one another, we want to bless one another, we want to see revival in one another and in those around us. Lord, we pray that you would increase the fellowship of the Holy Spirit amongst us, our awareness of that, our awareness of being linked all the way back to the apostles and to Christ, who is alive and lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.